Tonight we continue on our journey through the core 52 verses identified by author Mark Moore to help us cultivate a biblical worldview. And tonight we come to Mark chapter 10, verse 45. And in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, which is our core 52 verse and the theme of our message tonight, Jesus is speaking and he says this, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's Mark chapter 10, verse 45. And Jesus is speaking, honestly, it's one of the most awkward moments in the Gospels. It's repeated in the Synoptics. But it's the request of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and these are the disciples. They're two of Jesus' inner three. You always hear about Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John get to see things that nobody else gets to see. But in this moment, James and John come to Jesus and they ask a really awkward question. They say, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask of you," which that's gutsy to start a conversation with Jesus in that way anyway. And Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And this is how they reply. They said, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." And what an amazingly gutsy question for them to ask. They know that Jesus is the Messiah. They believe that Jesus is God's Messiah. And remember, the Jewish people were looking for God's Messiah to come and essentially to overthrow Rome and to establish God's kingdom on earth. And what James and John are asking, as they believe that Jesus is the Messiah, is let us sit in the highest positions of highest authority below you in your kingdom. One of us at your right, one of us at your left. And Jesus replies and says, "You don't know what you're asking." And he takes them on a journey of understanding that he is going to have to suffer. And they will suffer as well. But he says, for one to sit at his right and one to sit at his left, the people that will be at his right and his left in his glory have been appointed by his Father. And then Jesus comes to this verse. He uses this awkward moment with James and John to teach his disciples what true servant leadership is. And he says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for the many." So within that context, as you and I learn from James and John's foolishness, and we learn from Jesus' teaching, we learn what it truly means to be a servant leader. For that's what God's calling us to do. He's calling us to lead in various capacities with various degrees of responsibility. But he calls us to be a servant leader, a leader who is there to serve others. And obviously, Jesus is the best example of servant leadership the world has ever known. So I want us to take this one verse and kind of break it down to see some principles for understanding what it means to be servant leaders in the kingdom of Almighty God and the ways that you and I can be a blessing to others. So 3 points. First, servant leaders understand who they are. Notice that Jesus understood exactly who he was. He says, "For even the Son of Man." And we've talked about this before in our Wednesday night worship through our core 52 verses. That phrase, "Son of Man," was Jesus' favorite phrase to use to describe himself. And it comes from Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Daniel is receiving this prophecy, and listen to what Daniel records in Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." That's an amazing vision. And what Jesus is saying by using this title, Son of Man, for himself, is that he is the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. Theologian Wayne Grudem records that the phrase entitled Son of Man is used 84 times in the four Gospels, but only by Jesus and only to speak of himself. Grudem continues that in the rest of the New Testament, the phrase, the Son of Man, with the definite article, the, is used only once in Acts chapter 7, verse 56, where Stephen refers to Christ as the Son of Man. This unique term has its background in the vision in Daniel 7, where Daniel saw one like a son of man who came to the Ancient of Days and was given dominion and glory and kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him, that his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And there Grudem is quoting the verse we just read. He said, "It is striking that this Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. This passage clearly speaks of someone who had heavenly origin and who was given eternal rule over the whole world." So recognize that when Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man," he is not diminishing who he is. No, he knows exactly who he is. He is the one who will reign forever and ever, and of his kingdom and of his reign, there will be no end. He knows exactly who he is. Nevertheless, he approaches his role with humility and comes to serve others. So Jesus knew who he was and the eternal reign that rightly belonged to him. Servant leaders aren't ignorant of their identity or the role that they've been called to fill. But how do servant leaders patterned after Jesus fill those roles? Well, the second point that I want to give us is this. Servant leaders understand why they're here. Servant leaders understand why they're here. Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." Jesus had a remarkable understanding that he had come to usher in the kingdom of God, to establish his reign which would know no end, but he had come to serve. This was exemplified most of all, I think, in those moments just before his cross, as he laid down his life for us, showing us that he came to serve us. But he taught his disciples that that's why he was here in that upper room. John's gospel records a moment of that gathering in the upper room that the synoptic gospels don't include, and it is the moment where Jesus assumes the role of the lowest servant in the room and washes the feet of his disciples. Remember what is communicated in John chapter 13, verses 3 through 5. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. You know, the lowest servant was the one who had to wash people's feet. You know why? Because feet can be gross, and people walked around in sandals, and they needed their feet washed. And Jesus assumed the role of the lowliest servant by washing feet. Now, notice what John's gospel includes here about Jesus' understanding of who he was. John begins by saying, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. So he knew who he was, he knew whose he was, and he knew what was in store for him. So he did not have to seek to be served. He could humble himself and become the servant of all. And the Bible says that Jesus humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. So servant leaders know who they are, but servant leaders also know why they're here. They humble themselves, recognizing that they don't have to make a name for themselves. God will take care of that. They humble themselves to serve. And then the last part of that verse tells us that Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many. And our third point is this. Servant leaders understand what they must do. Servant leaders understand what they must do. And so Jesus is explaining to them what he has come to do. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords has come not to be served, but to serve. And the way he is ultimately going to serve human beings is by giving his life. Jesus says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends." In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, tells us that, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus," listen to this, "the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus laid down his life so that we might live. And you know that the Bible says that we are called to take up our cross, i.e., lay down our lives for the benefit of others. Now, this comes up often in premarital counseling where I will tell the husband, look, you will be called to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And how did Christ love the church? He gave himself up for her. That's right there in Ephesians chapter 5. And there may be a time, husband-to-be, when you have to lay down your life for your bride. If you have a robber come in the middle of the night, you don't put your bride in front of you. No, you stand between her and the danger. I said, that's frankly the easy part, though. The harder part is when your dream for your life and your family doesn't match God's dream for your life and your family. What God tells you is best, and you have to lay that down. That's hard. That is unbelievably hard. But you know, people who are patterned after Jesus, who take up the call to be servant leaders, who have come not to be served but to serve, understand that sometimes we have to lay our interests down for the benefit of others. Jesus gave us the ultimate example of that by laying down his life so that we might find full, abundant, and eternal life in him. Well, if you and I trust and follow Jesus, then the call for each of us is to be a leader in some capacity, but to do so in the pattern of the ultimate servant leader, Jesus our Lord. That doesn't mean we don't understand that through Christ we have been made children of God. That doesn't mean that God doesn't have gifts and talents and abilities put in us for his glory. It doesn't mean we don't understand who we are, but it means this. It means that we are able to humble ourselves, not requiring service from others, but able to serve others, and even able to lay down our lives for the benefit of others. If we do that, we'll emulate our Jesus, and we'll make our world a better place. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you, and we thank you so much for the amazing example that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Son of Man, who has been given eternal glory and dominion and power and kingdom forever and ever and ever. Lord, but who came to not to be served, but to serve others, and who ultimately served by laying down his life so that we might live. Lord, help us to follow that pattern. Now, we recognize that we require a relationship with Jesus to follow that pattern. We recognize that we require your Holy Spirit to be able to follow that pattern. But Lord, as we trust and follow Jesus, recognizing that when we receive Christ, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to live that way. Help us to live that way and help us to make our world a better place, just like Jesus did. And before we close our time together tonight, Lord, once again, we join our hearts and our minds and our voices to pray that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we'll answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us tonight, and we hope that you will join us this Friday for Friday night virtual Vespers. We know we'll be encouraged. We hope you join us then.